Chapter 4. Alistair. Alistair cringed as he was carried high above the spires and skyscrapers of heaven, the shining golden light of its radiance hurting his eyes to such an extent that he couldn't bear to look directly into it. After a couple minutes of flight, the golden city receded, and all he saw under him was heaven's infinite, natural beauty. All was as it had been on Earth before the fall of man. There were vast grasslands, thick with romping animal herds of every description, vibrant with rainbows of flowers and sprinklings of trees, rich with fruit. Elsewhere, the rolling grass gave to thick forests and jungles, the seemingly endless foliage a collage of every shade of green the eye could perceive. The primal beauty of it was completely breathtaking. Past that, there were rolling hills and huge, towering mountains. Alistair could see goats and mountain lions playing amongst the crags. The shining, awe-inspiring purity of the snow-capped peaks high above made his eyes widen as he took it all in. Perfectly contrasting the heights were a skirt of thick pines and small springs and lakes that surrounded them. After a few minutes more, even that was past them, and finally, Alistair laid eyes on a sight that well and truly took his breath away. As they passed out from the shadow of a mountain, the sea of heaven stretched out before him, endless blue in either direction, the surface of the water shimmering in the late afternoon sunlight. He could see monumental schools of fish in the beautiful waters, massive sea beasts, and every type of water-dwelling creature stretched out across the perfectly clear blue oceans of heaven's endless, vast beauty. The sand of the beach extended equally as wide across the horizon. The pale grains of sand, when viewed from a distance, were so pure and white, they seemed to gleam in the daylight. He noticed then that they were descending to the shoreline, and craned his neck up to look at Adam, who still held him fast.
"Why are we stopping here?"
Alistair called, screaming over the gale of wind as they steadily descended.
"Because we're gonna go see an old friend of yours. And mine."
Alistair was confused briefly. Adam and him didn't have much overlap in their acquaintances. He didn't think so, at least. Unless he meant... oh, shit, not her. Not Lilith. If he hadn't seen her for 10,000 years, it would still be too early to see that sick woman again.
"Adam, I won't beg you, but there's nothing I'd rather do less than see Lilith."
Alistair hissed, shuddering at the mere thought of the Sin Mother. She'd been a nightmare to work with, but after having been manifested in hell nearly a century prior, then only as a simple sinner, no weaker or stronger than anyone else, he had been horrified by what one was just expected to do in hell to survive. He'd been propositioned more times than he could count. Within a week, the advances upon him had only made him more uncomfortable with every instance. Seeking a way out of the madness, he'd sought power, eventually reaching a point where he could ask Lilith herself for aid. She had granted him power to defy the norms, and force the other degenerates of Pentagram City to both respect and fear him. But that power had a high asking price. She'd done things to him for it. Things he'd sooner forget. After he had tried and failed to infiltrate the V's and kill that flat-faced freak Vox, it had all come crashing down around him. He'd pushed too far. And even though it was on Lilith's order, Lucifer had ascertained him a threat and refused to take his claim seriously, believing his wife when she denied all involvement in his rise to power. After all he'd done, and after all she put him through, Alistair had been hung out to dry. The silver lining had been that, since his killing spree was seen only as his own doing, everyone was terrified of him on his return. That fear and reputation had gotten him far. And he'd had such plans with Charlie in the hotel. Alas, Adam had come along and thrown every one of those half-formed schemes down to shatter like so much glass.
"Yeah, well, I don't really give a shit what you want, dear boy,"
Adam said, landing in the sand with a soft poof of fine white powder.
We're visiting Lilith, whether you like it or not, and you're gonna tell her, in excruciating detail, exactly what I did down there. Don't leave anything out. I want to see the look on her face when you tell her I killed her little homewrecking bitch of a husband. I want to see the tears in her eyes when you tell her how many of her people died. I went to Pentagram City, do you hear me, dear boy?
He grabbed Alistair by the collar and got in his face. His breath stunk and it made Alistair cringe.
I had my girls kill thousands upon thousands of your worthless fucking people. Hellborn, sinners, anyone we wanted. When that little bitch Lucifer died, it was gloves off. We burned down so many buildings, slaughtered so many crowds of screaming freaks. It's hard to keep account when you didn't take a head for every kill.
He shrugged.
But I bet it was at least 500,000. What do you think? Sound about right?
Alistair didn't know. He hadn't seen what had happened in Pentagram City. But if Adam was being truthful, and indeed had butchered almost everyone there, he'd put the estimate at close to 1,000,000 casualties. Maybe more. It wasn't a comforting thought, Adam slaying so many. Even if Alistair somehow got back down to hell and tried to piece back together his power structure, find more people to make deals with, gain more power, he'd still be ruling over ashes and bones. Charlie truly had woken a sleeping dragon with that hotel. For whatever reason, her fervor had ignited something terrible in Adam. This was beyond a simple vendetta or desire to cause harm. It seemed like more than that was at play here. It was as if Adam was personally offended by the idea souls could be redeemed. Why, though? How? It didn't make sense just how much it had enraged the first man. Alistair sensed that there was something more underneath the hate and vitriol, but his thoughts on the subject were momentarily scattered as Adam grabbed him by the shoulder and began to drag him down the sand. The radio demon didn't bother to protest or fight it. There was no point. He simply walked along with the mean-spirited angel. It was then he truly felt the loss of his radio staff. Normally it would be thrust in front of him, pulling him through every step of his walk with a gentlemanly fluidity of movement. With it gone, his walk was more awkward, hands idly clenching and unclenching as if to grasp the walking stick, to manifest it through force of will and desire. But of course, nothing happened. He held no power now. With this shackle around his throat, now he had a figurative and literal chain around his neck. Eventually, the golden-winged angel had dragged him down the beach for a while, before finally reaching a beach chair. It had a sun hat resting on the seat, but no one was there. Looking up and down the beach, Adam growled under his breath.
"Where are you? I know you're still here."
Alistair noted a small beachfront house that was nestled between a few hills on a small path that began just where the sand gave way to the rest of heaven's incredible natural beauty. It was right there. But his captor hadn't seemed to notice it yet. He stifled a giggle. Should he tell him? No, not yet. He was enjoying this too much. Adam eventually turned and saw his grin. He looked irritated to see something besides pain or petulant rage on Alistair's face, and his golden eyes narrowed with suspicion.
"What? What's funny?"
he asked, and Alistair shrugged.
"Oh, nothing. Nothing at all, Adam. I'm miserable right now. Just absolutely miserable."
"Why are you fucking smiling, then?"
"Well, you see, it is my belief that confident expression is a weapon as much as your ridiculous little guitar axe. My smile hides my insecurities, implies to my enemies that they're playing right into my hands, even if they aren't. Besides, when I let my grin show, all of hell smiles with me. You're never fully dressed without a smile,"
he said, pulling at the corners of his own mouth for emphasis. Adam rolled his eyes and suddenly punched Alistair in the stomach so hard he doubled over, grunting in pain. It was like trying to explain the intricacies of symbolism and metaphor to an angry, relatively stupid chimp. Then, annoyingly, Adam took his advice and seemed to smile, though less from confidence and more, it seemed, from seeing Alistair laid low. He reveled in the Radio Demon's unfortunate circumstance. And finally, looking past him, his eyes alighted on the shape of the little beachside cottage.
Aha! Right there, come on. I need to see the tears in her eyes when I tell her Lucifer's dead.
Alistair didn't know his terrible, manipulative mistress very well. She shared precious little about herself, even after the time they spent working together. But from what he did know about her, he doubted Adam would get the reaction he was clearly seeking. Lilith was cold as ice, unyielding as stone, and showed no emotions besides greed, lust, hedonistic pleasure, and disdain. It would be a miracle if she so much as gave him a sad look. They reached the door, and Adam grabbed the handle, shaking it to find it locked. Without hesitation, he began knocking with force, the thin wood shaking in its frame with each booming sound of his fist.
Lilith! I know you're in there! Come out! I've got an old friend who wants to catch up!
There was a pause and a shuffling before Lilith came to the door, opening up with a pair of panties on and nothing else.
Yes, Adam?
Lilith said, smirking as Adam's gaze affixed itself to her chest. Alistair blushed and looked away. She was always doing this, like she'd done with him when they worked together. She liked to make men squirm, and though he'd tried to make it clear he really wasn't interested in that sort of relationship, it seemed the mere act of not wanting to be sexually involved with her was what drove Lilith to keep trying to jumpstart his baser impulses. He'd had an extremely strong control over himself in life, but in the afterlife of hell, all carnal impulses were amplified. He was still himself, still possessed of an extreme level of self-control, and did not allow his base urges to seep into his true self. But oh, how Lilith had tried to get him to sink to that level. He felt his heart lurch as her eyes moved from Adam to him. He stole only a brief glance and saw that she was smiling at him in that twisted, demented way of hers, grinning at his discomfort, visibly savoring his distress.
"Oh, is that my little Allie? Come back to play."
Alistair flinched involuntarily and shuddered. He could tolerate Adam, even his little girlfriend and all the rest of heaven, but damn it, he wouldn't tolerate this. He would not let Lilith violate him, body and soul, again. He briefly wondered how she was here, what she'd done to get here, but decided it didn't matter. She hadn't told him anything before she disappeared. But since she was in heaven, then he needed to get out of here. Turning, he moved to run away, somewhere, anywhere but around this woman. Tearing his eyes from Lilith's breasts, Adam gave a "Hey!" of protest, but Lilith giggled.
"Allow me,"
Alistair heard her say, before he felt those ethereal chains around his throat snap tight, ripping his legs out from under him and sprawling him on the wooden steps that led up to her little abode. Damn it. Alistair was still bound by that accursed deal he'd made with her. Servitude to her, in order for the power to crush those who would threaten him. Of course, it seemed since his fight with Adam, the power she could grant him was only equal to that which she could wield herself. Adam laughed at his misfortune.
"Ha! She still has you under her thumb? And she calls you Allie? That sounds like some teenage girl's name!"
He broke into another amused guffaw, and Alistair felt his face flush with humiliation and rage. Languidly, reveling in his squirming, Lilith reeled in the chain she held him by, the smirk on her face widening as she pulled him close enough that he could smell her breath. It always smelled like cherries, and its scent made his heart accelerate and his flesh feel hot. It's like she was made out of ultra-condensed sin itself, poured into the mold of a woman and given life. For even the mere fact of her physical closeness inspired debaucherous desire. He now had to consciously, consistently prevent his eyes from drifting down to her exposed bosom.
"I know you missed me,"
she hissed, leaning in closer, with a grin that was both predatory and intimate. Alistair felt Adam's hand on the back of his neck, and for once, he was thankful for the first man's presence as he was forcibly yanked back, away from the arch-temptress.
All right. As funny as it is to see this antlered fuck squirm, I didn't bring him to be your plaything, bitch,
Adam said, smirking.
Tell her, radio boy. Tell her what I did.
Lilith scoffed.
What? You did your little extermination and found my old proxy? What, do you want a medal, Adam? A pat on the back? I'm not impressed.
Adam gave Alistair's leg a short kick and the radio demon gasped in pain.
Tell her, or she gets to keep you.
Alistair would rather literally do anything else, and so he did as he was ordered, for once, without a snarky clapback. Well, at least not an audible one, but he thought of a couple.
Lilith, Adam won.
Alistair cleared his throat and steadied himself before speaking.
He crushed your daughter, killed her girlfriend and all her friends, and laid waste to hell. Pentagram City is purportedly burning, and Charlie's dreams of redemption are dead. Even Lucifer was killed. The exorcists came down on us in a wave of wings and angelic steel. Their plumage blotted out the sun. Their war cry swallowed all other sound. Hell has never been so humbled.
Lilith did, at least for a moment, look surprised. She looked from Alistair to Adam a few times, then simply asked,
Is this true?
Hell yes, bitch!
Adam said, pulling something out from the folds of his robe and holding it up for her to see.
It was Lucifer's head. The king of hell's disembodied head, roughly cleaved from his neck and held up by the hair, was gripped in Adam's fist, and as he waved it in front of Lilith's wide-eyed expression,
Alistair couldn't help but be slightly mystified by how similarly the dead eyes of Lucifer mirrored his living widow's. Adam was laughing uncontrollably now, almost manic in his giddiness at having killed the literal devil, and now having the chance to rub this conquest in his ex's face. However, after a few moments of her not showing any tears, his laugh stopped instantly, and she began to grin. Then Lilith leaned forward, snatched the head from Adam, and brought it up to her lips, and, holding the disembodied head in her hands, deeply kissed it. Sticking her tongue in its gaping mouth, she made sick smacking sounds and moaned obscenely, a hand actually going down between her legs, shamelessly touching herself. Adam gagged, and Alistair looked away before she finally backed away from it. There was golden blood on her perfect lips and a dreamy look in her eye.
Another unforgettable experience,
she said breathlessly. Adam roughly grabbed her arm so she couldn't pull away and wrenched the head from her. Roaring in disgust and anger, he threw it into the air and blasted it with holy light, throwing such force into the action that nothing was left of the awful besides a borderline imperceptible ash cloud on the late afternoon breeze.
Every fucking time! Every fucking time I think you can't be more disgusting and sick, you prove me wrong! What the fuck, Lilith? What the actual fuck?
He screamed.
As I told you, Adam, no depravity is too low not to experience. You showed me my husband's severed head and expect me not to explore the possibilities?
Then she made an absurdly innocent, pouty face at him.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't destroyed it. I could have done so many more delicious things with that head. Ah, well, leave it to you to spoil a fun moment.
With that, she turned and walked back into the house, as if the conversation was over. As she did so, she yanked roughly on the chain that held Alistair by the throat, dragging him forward with her and forcing him to follow, despite his struggles. Adam clearly wasn't done here and followed her.
Hey! Where the fuck do you think you're going?
He snapped. Alistair looked around as she pulled him into her little vacation home, noticing as she drew him through a sparse living room and into her bedroom that she was opening drawers, grabbing a few personal effects, packing up her clothes into suitcases.
"What the fuck is all this? What are you doing?"
Adam said as he followed right on her heel, giving voice to the same question on the radio demon's mind.
"Lucifer is dead. I am his widow, remember, Adam? I get to rule hell now."
She giggled like an excited schoolgirl, looking at him with Lucifer's golden blood still on her tongue.
"Oh, silly me, how rude I must seem. I forgot to thank you for clearing the throne for me."
The mother of sin cooed, walking over and batting her eyes, leaning in with stained, shining lips to kiss Adam while a hand went down to the space between his legs. The first man gave her a look of abject disgust and grabbed her by the throat before she could touch him, shoving her back against a wall.
"You sick fucking bitch," he hissed.
"I'll fucking kill you before I let you rule hell."
Lilith held Alistair's collar in one hand and calmly looked into Adam's eyes, showing not a hint of worry.
"No, you won't. You can't kill me. I know you can't make yourself do it. You're too soft, Adam. Too weak. I should thank you for bringing me Alistair, too. I'll enjoy making him serve as my little errand boy. A good queen always keeps a few pets to help her rule."
As Alistair felt his heart race like a deer in a forest, fleeing the deafening crack of a hunting rifle, Adam's eyes narrowed, his expression furious. His hands left Lilith's neck, the guitar axe he'd used to nearly end the radio demon's unlife manifesting in his hand once more. Alistair hoped and actually prayed, despite his damned existence, that Adam would slay her right here. There were few things that the radio demon felt were more terrifying than the concept of being trapped in hell as Lilith's plaything, constantly being prodded and tortured in horrific ways until his mind snapped under it and he lost himself to her corruptive influence. He was strong, and his will was stronger still, but a sinner could only stave off the advances of the progenitor of sin itself for so long before their damned souls submitted themselves. She had some kind of power that just gave her a natural ability over all of them, and no matter how deeply Alistair wanted nothing to do with her, he was still only able to resist by keeping his distance. He learned that the hard way over the course of his time in her service. Lilith looked at the bulky axe blade and at Adam's face. She smiled, all goading and contemptuousness.
"Do it," she said.
Adam's face hardened, teeth stretching back into a grimace.
"Do it,"
Lilith exclaimed louder. His hand shook, his fingers clenching around the guitar's fretboard so tightly that the radio demon thought it would be crushed by the pressure.
"Do it!"
Lilith screamed in his face.
"I dare you!"
In just a fraction of a second, he swung the weapon above his head and brought it down with titanic, lethal force. Lilith flinched involuntarily, eyes momentarily wild with shock at Adam seemingly proving her wrong. But the stroke was never meant for her. It cleaved through the chains of the pact that Alistair and Lilith had made all those years ago, shattering the ethereal links into splinters of ghostly mist that evaporated in an instant, the magical feedback of the deal's destruction causing a sonic boom that had Alistair sprawled on the ground as he tried and failed to catch himself with a staff that wasn't there. Lilith fell against the wall, wide-eyed and for the briefest of moments, terrified.
"I might be too weak to kill you," Adam admitted. "But I'm taking away your toy. I'm not gonna let you just have this little demonic bitch boy and the throne. By the light of the divine, I'm taking that from you, if nothing else. And there isn't a fucking thing you can do about it."
Lilith's face twisted in rage, and she stood up, glaring daggers at the angel.
"If this is the best you can do to strike back at me, then you truly are a pathetic, weak little man," she said, spitting in his face.
Adam wiped it off, looked at the spit on his hand for a moment with a blank expression. Then, with a growl of hate, the first man reared back and slapped Lilith so hard across the face it made Alistair wince and have flashbacks. Seeing women struck always brought back terrible memories, even women as revolting and sick as Lilith. She almost fell from the blow, but steadied herself and grabbed her packed bags. Making a short gesture with her hands and picking up the suitcases, she turned away from them. An all-too-familiar portal opened, one which smelled of brimstone, sulfur, and now burning buildings and dried blood. "Goodbye, Adam," Lilith said with finality, stepping through the portal which closed the moment she passed through, leaving Alistair and Adam alone in the beach house.
"Goodbye,"
Adam said flatly to the space where Lilith had stood moments before. The radio demon just sort of fidgeted uncomfortably for a while as Adam stood in silence. Then the angel turned away, grabbed his captive, and dragged him out of the small building.
"So, do I get to leave now?"
Alistair asked hopefully.
"Are you done with me?"
Adam's voice was snappy and short, the exchange that had just took place seemingly having sapped all the fun-loving, obnoxious attitude from his persona for the moment.
"No, I'm not letting you go back and get picked up by that bitch. She doesn't get that win. I'm taking something from her, even if it's just you,"
Adam said.
What are you saying?"
Alistair was worried now, feeling his heart begin to sink as he anticipated the answer. Sure enough, it was as he had feared.
"You're gonna stay with me,"
Adam replied casually, opening a portal of his own. Through it, Alistair could see a palatial estate with an extensive garden, a three-story white and golden residence, and in the center, right up front, a statue of Adam, a stream of water pouring from the sculpture's mouth into the fountain which encircled it.
"What the fuck?"
Alistair replied, looking at the gaudy residence with disdain.
"And do what?"
"Whatever I feel like."
Adam grinned as he spoke, and without another word, he dragged Alistair, kicking and screaming, into the portal. From the frying pan into the fire, Alistair briefly wondered if it could get any worse. Then he considered how close he'd come to being a plaything for the most depraved woman, and soon to be likely the most powerful woman whom has ever lived, and decided that, yes, it could have been worse. Not much worse, of course, but worse.